So I've just got to say, I'm so glad Lorelai is here, because yesterday was the quietest service I think we've ever had at St. David's last night. You could hear a pin drop. It was so unnerving. I didn't know what to do with myself. It'd been so long since I'd been to church with no sound whatsoever. I had to keep looking up to remind myself I was with other people. It was crazy. It doesn't feel like St. David's without a little bit of play in the back. So good to have you here, Lorelai. And welcome to everyone. It's a pleasure and an honor, as always, to worship with you and for folks to come out Christmas Day. This used to be the only day we worshiped in the church, and things have really shifted to Christmas Eve. And so we kind of gather in the morning, and I love it. It's just a little simpler. It's a little quieter, and it's beautiful. We get to celebrate the story that has been shared with us and been passed down over the millennia of a child who was born to us. God made man incarnate, who came to live among us, who came as the light of life and the light of the world, that we might no longer walk in darkness, that we might no longer live out our days being disconnected from the God who loves us and created us. Jesus came as our Emmanuel, the scriptures talk about, as God with us. And for me this season, that has really embodied what Christmas and what this is all about for me. Bless you. There's a lot of things you can talk about at Christmas, especially when you talk about John's gospel that talks about the light, the idea of Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who would be born and become incarnate as Jesus, existing since the beginning of time and all things being created through him. You can go into a lot of theology around that, and I'm not going to spend really any time on that this morning. If you want to have a long, in-depth conversation about the Trinity, we can do that another time. But this idea of God choosing to come and be with us is, I think, paramount for us as Christians. This idea that of all the things God could have done, all the ways in which God could have chosen to redeem us, to call us back from our sin, to call us back from our rebellion, the way he chose to do that was to choose us and to come and live among us, to condescend to being a little child to be cared for, that had to be raised, that couldn't take care of himself, to give up all of his power to come and be among us, to share life as we live it, to be among us, knowing full well what was to come, knowing that we would not treat him well, knowing that we would again continue in our rebellion, turn against the light of the world, and be frustrated by what being face-to-face with perfection makes us feel about ourselves. And we rejected him. He was crucified, died, risen on the third day, and will come again in glory. That's our story. And it begins in this moment of him coming and being with us as flesh in the person of Jesus. And so that's kind of, for me, the foundation of all this. But something that I shared last night and I want to talk about this morning is also the idea of the way in which God interacts with us in this world. And I couldn't help but think a lot about Mary and Joseph. Because in last night's readings, in gospel reading, it's the traditional story where Quirinius calls the census and everyone has to go to the city of their birth to be counted. And so Joseph and Mary leave their home in Nazareth and make their pilgrimage to Bethlehem because Joseph is of the line of David. And there's no room for them in the inn, it says, you know, and Mary goes into labor and ends up giving birth to Jesus and lays him in a manger. And just a little background, a manger would have been a feeding trough for animals. And it's not quite as nice as like the little, you know, bed that we make in our nativity scenes. It would have just been a pile of hay in a box where the animals would come by to feed. The inn, there probably wouldn't have been a traditional inn, especially in a town as small as Bethlehem. What that probably meant was the fact that they would normally have stayed with family, and none of the family or friends that were there were willing to have them. And why? Because they were the scandal of the family, right? Mary's 9 months pregnant. She's not married. That's scandalous in many parts of our world today, let alone 2,000 years ago. She has to not only live in the face of that and be shunned and shamed by the people around her, but she also has to make this pilgrimage, 9 months pregnant by foot, right? From Nazareth to Bethlehem. That sounds like a great way to spend your last, you know, few weeks, 9 months pregnant. And the whole time she's traveling with family and friends, and they are very aware of, I'm sure, what the folks around them are thinking. And I think about that shame. I think about the way in which we as a culture tend to use shame in order to get people to kind of live according to the kind of house rules or the of society's rules, right? And our culture is no different from, you know, ancient Jewish culture in that way. We have all kinds of ways in which we kind of look down and shame people into doing what we think they ought to do. And I think that's the way, I don't know if we're going to get away from that. That's kind of the way culture has been for years and years and years. But what worries me the most is where I see it almost as much as anywhere else is in the church. It seems to be the way we decide we want to order ourselves so often too. We have an idea of how people ought to live and what it means to be a good Christian, what it means to be the right kind of Christian. And then we have a whole bunch of rules that we expect people to live by. And we probably don't even tell them what those rules are. We just kind of let them know by how we, you know, interact with them when they don't do something we like. You know, when the candle isn't just in the right place or whatever, you know, however silly or however, you know, profound it might be. My experience in the church has been navigating a lot of those kind of norms, trying to figure out what the right way to act in church is. And I was thinking about that as I thought about Mary and Joseph and realized that I have to believe that Mary and Joseph had a level of confidence in the face of all of that shame and disdain, knowing that they were doing what God had called them to do, right? I mean, angels had visited the two of them and said, you know, this is what's going on, this is what's happening. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. This is what I want you to do. I want you to be willing to undergo this so that you might give birth to the Son of God in your lifetime. And Joseph and Mary both received that call and carried it out. I have to think that's what sustained them through all of the difficulty of the next 9 months. The reality that there were some close friends like her cousin Elizabeth and others who were kind of in on the game and were there to support them, and just the knowledge that she was okay. The knowledge that she wasn't someone to be looked down upon. She wasn't someone that should be ashamed. She was a child of God who was doing the work that God had laid out for her to do. And I think that's a message that we all need to hear. I know I need to hear it and be reminded that in the things that I do and the ways in which I live my life, God is calling me and calling us into all different kinds of things. He's calling us into different and new ways to love the people around us and to learn how to love ourselves. He's calling us into ministry in this world to bring light and life and joy into God's creation. And God's using us all in different ways to do that. And you don't need to be ashamed at how that's playing itself out. I feel like this is the last place that you should ever feel ashamed about who you are, about what you're doing. And yet, for some reason, we're really good about shaming people. And I hope we can find a way around that. I hope that we can continue to work a little bit at a time to kind of get that out of our system. Because the church, the body of Christ, has to be a place where we are able to just be free to be who God created us to be. And I think that's what a lot of this is about. God chooses us. He chooses us in a way that says, I want to be with you. God didn't say, fix these few things. You know, start working on this, do that, actually start following my law the way I want you to, and then I'll come and be with you because you'll be ready for me. Knowing that we would never be ready for God, God comes to us. He doesn't ask us to go to him. He comes to us. And he comes to us in the form of a little child. And he lives among us. And what that presence means for us is that we don't need to worry about where we are and who we are. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever you're carrying with you, whatever joys and sorrows live in your heart, whatever shame and exultation you feel, God is with you in the midst of it, and God doesn't need you to be any other way. Now, don't get me wrong. God is, of course, in the business of transforming us. We are changing every day. But it's not something we need to be stressed down about, and it's certainly not something we need to be ashamed about if we're not where we think we ought to be. God isn't afraid of our dark sides. God isn't afraid of our sin. God isn't afraid of the way that we get into fights with one another. God isn't afraid of the ways in which we hurt one another. He calls us into repentance. He calls us into new life, but he's not backed down by it. In the moments when everyone else abandons us, God is there with us. And he promises that neither height nor depth nor power nor principality nor rulers nor all things present here on earth or in the heavens above can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God came to be with us, and that was the end of the story. We don't need to worry about him leaving us. We don't need to worry about him being separated from us, because he will be there with us. That is what the light is about. That is the light that shines in the darkness that John talks about. That whatever darkness there is, the light of God comes and drives it out. If you are anxious, if you are stressed out, if you are feeling insecure or fearful or afraid, that is, in my experience, pretty normal for living on this earth. But at the same time, it's also not what God has for us. That's part of what I believe God is calling us out of. God is calling us out of anxiety and fear into peace and into love. And he leads us by the guidance of his Son and by the love and the mercy that God places in this world through him. The love and the mercy that is shared in this community and in this place, that's shared at this table that we gather around each week. This is all here not to get you to act a certain way or to make you feel bad if you don't act in that way. What this is all about is to remind you that you're okay because God loves you and has done everything for you. You need not be afraid. You need not be anxious. You need not worry about who you are. God loves you. God loves you just as you are. That's what this good news is about. God comes all the way to us. He meets us at this table, and he meets us in this communion. And in our gathering and in our receiving, we are transformed and we are changed. We are set free, and we are reminded of God's love for us. And so I pray this Christmas that just as God came to us as a child, that the light that he brought into this world that lives within you and lives within me, that burns in our hearts, would be kindled this morning and this season. That flame would burn brighter than ever before. That it would drive out whatever fear and anxiety and insecurity lives within us. That it would comfort us in our grief and in our trouble. And that it would lift us up in our joy. And that wherever you go, you would know that you are not alone and you will never be alone. That God will be with you and will pursue you to the ends of the earth. And that God is overjoyed that you are here and that he has the opportunity to share life and eternity with you. So come and continue to be a part of this community, this body of Christ. Come and receive the gift of grace and of love that God provides at this table today. Know that you are home. Know that you are loved. And know that you need nothing other than receive the free gift of God if you want to be accepted and welcomed. It is here for you. Amen.